Begin the Karen Taf Masech, this Avrin Daf Samach Dal. Begin two lines up from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the episode of the previous Daf. And that is what happened was is that there were Jews living amongst non-Jews in the same Chatzar. And as we had learned in the Mishnah, that there's a problem when you're living in the same Chatzar as a non-Jew. Because when there's many Jews, they can gather together and do what's necessary according to the Rabbanah of creating a Neruvi Chatzaris. They have everybody put their food into one person's home. We view it as one large Rosh Hashanah. One person's estate, people ought to go ahead and carry in the homes and in the Chatzar. However, when there's a non-Jew, there is someone that has a right of way over here that is cannot join together because he cannot be part of the Reuven Chatzeres. He cannot be Mevatel Rishus. The only way to get rid of, so to speak, the Rishus of the Yaakim, which is making a problem over here of not allowing us to have it owned by one person, is to actually rent his property and then joining that together with the Reuven Chatzeres. However, this story had a certain non-Jew that did not want to go ahead. His name was Lachman Bar Ristak. He didn't want to go ahead and rent out his property to the Jews. Now they were stuck. What do? They can't carry in the chatzar on every Shabbos because he doesn't want to go ahead and rent out his property. So Abaye told them, look, I have a way out of it. Go ahead. All the Jews go ahead and be mevatel their property to one of the Jews. Therefore, they're not considered like many Jews. They're considered like one Yisrael because now it's only one Jew that owns property in this chatzar that have the non-Jews there. When you have one Yisrael amongst many non-Jews, since that's a mitzvah l'shchicha, and here also, when you have many Jews going ahead and being vatal, they were just to one Yisrael, that's also considered a milsud l'shchicha. It's not a common thing to happen. And as we had said before in the previous stuff, milsud l'shchicha goes to Rabbanan, the gzer of the Rabbanan that said when you're living amongst non-Jews, which although their dira is not considered dira to really actually make a halachic problem, but they said that it will be a halachic problem because they did not want the Jew to live there to learn from the non-Jews. That's only when there's at least two Jews or more, because that's what's common. Because one Jew to live amongst non-Jews is not so common because they're chashra shvichas dam. A Jew's not going to live by himself. He's afraid he's going to get murdered. When he has another Jew, he's not so afraid. So therefore, we said there wasn't geyser by when it's not come one Jew. It also was not nigzar, this idea of having the deer of Akam being considered a deer to make a problem that you can't make a Rubi Chatzeres. When you have all the Jews being mevatel their rishus to one Jew, thereby making it one Jew amongst many, that's not common for people to give over their properties to one person. Therefore, the gzer derabanan of creating the deer of Akam as a deer to be a problem, although in the Torah it's not really a deer, it's considered like a deer shel behema, that we consider that it is a deer, was only by something which was common, as all gzeres derabanan are only by things that are common. Things that are not common were never included, and all the Jews being mevatel rishus to one Jew is not common, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. Now you can go ahead and carry in the chatzer as one Jew could amongst many non-Jews because it's loy shchicha and the gzer d'abon of making like a deer was not in such a case. So now is where we continue and begin today's daf. So he went and went and said over this statement of Abaye in front of Rava. So Amalei, so Rava said to him, if it's like Abaye said, you're doing away with the whole concept of Erev in that Mavi. That is, beside, they need to have an Erev. It's more than one Jew. There's many Jews possibly, and there are non-Jews, but they're stuck. So he gave this type of idea. But he says, if they're going to do that, they're going to forget about the halachic status of that this Mavi really requires an Erev, which is necessary because there's more than one Jew. So he said to him, what's the problem? Dima'arvi, let them make an Erev amongst the Jews, even though it's not going to help, but since they're going to make it, they're not going to forget there is such an idea and such a halacha of what's necessary generally to make a Reuven Chatzeres and the Shetuvim Mevayis. So he responded to him, that won't work, Rava said, because Yemur Erev Mayu B'makam Nachu. Then they're going to say, oh, you're making an Erev even though there's non-Jews? Oh, you see that an Erev could work even with non-Jews, which is not true. You can't make an Erev when there's non-Jews if you're not renting his property because he is considered having a right of way and that doesn't allow the Erev to happen. So you can go ahead and make an Erev even though it's not working because people are going to think that the Erev works even though there's a non-Jew here, which is not true. So he responded to him, no, demachrezinan, we'll make an announcement. Everyone should know that our Erev really doesn't work, as we see, because there's a non-Jew here that's not renting us his property. And this that we could take out from our, and that's why we can't take out from the chatzar to the mavi. And this that we could carry inside our chatzar is only because it has a status as a rishus yachid, because we're only mevatel our rishus to one Jew, and he's one Jew amongst many non-Jews, which is not a problem, because the non-Jews dira are not considered like a deer when there's only one Yisrael, because that's a musulay shchicha. To which Rav responded, no, I don't like the case of Abaye in such a case, because you're telling me that they're going to make an announcement? That's not going to help. Achrazasa l'dardiki? Is there going to be an announcement for the children? How is it going to help for the future generations, which they're going to see people carrying over there, and they never heard this announcement? And therefore, they're going to think that now you made an Erev, and oh, an Erev works even though there's a non-Jew. Or if they won't know about the Erev, they can forget about the concept of Erev. Either way, they will not hear the announcement to know that, oh, we're making an Erev, but it's only make-believe. In other words, that we shouldn't forget, but really it's working because Mavat Lashos, they're not going to know this. And therefore, I don't like this Peshat of Abaye because they're going to forget the status of an Erev. And if they're not going to forget it, they're going to think it's working even when there's a non-Jew over there, which is not true. It's not really working. And they're not going to hear the announcement by saying they're only making it so that we shouldn't forget the halachas of Erev. Elama Rava, whether Rava said, not like Abaye, he said, I have a better idea what to do over here. Again, they were stuck because the non-Jew did not want to rent their property. He says, you should do as follows. Then one of the Jews go ahead and become friendly with this non-Jew. And he's not going to rent this property because he's very suspicious. They already tried a few times. But the Jew that became that's going to get friendly with a non-Jew, he should ask him to loan him just a spot in his quarter, just... You know, I need to put something somewhere. You have that nice shed in your yard. Can I put something over there? Let him put something over there in the courtyard. Now, since the Yisrael, the Jew, is having some right of way, he's like, has type of a dira in the courtyard of the non-Jew because he's putting stuff over there. The Havilei, now we consider this Jew, like the worker of the non-Jew. And therefore, since because he's like he's a renter, he has somewhat right of way in that chatzar by renting, by having that spot where the non-Jew lets him put his stuff. And therefore, V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, he had already told us that afilas chiriv afilas kitay, that even the worker of the non-Jew or the one that rents space by the non-Jew, if he's a Jew, neisin eruba, he can give the eruv of that chatzar together with the rest of the people of the mavi v'daya, and that's going to be enough. In other words, although the owner of that property, the Nachri, he's not renting it, but someone that's part of his domain, which is this Jew that's going to be having some right of way, that is a Sacher, is someone that works the whole entire year. And the Lakid is someone that works as a seasonal worker during the summer months and during the times when they gather, when they're reaping it and when they're gathering. So therefore, on some level, this person is going to get friendly and he's going to say, can I have a spot of you? He's going to be considered like a Sri Velikita. He's going to be someone that is under the domain of that non-Jew, because he has a right of way over there. So on that, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul said that he can go ahead and join in place of that non-Jew because he's somewhat in that domain. He has the right of way over there. And therefore, that's going to work, and therefore, that's the best way to do it. Get friendly with him. Have one Jew ask him if he could put something over there. Now, he can go ahead and join that property with the rest of the Mavi, and that will be considered like a full-fledged Eruv Chatzeres. Now, on this topic regarding this kula that we said, that interestingly, although the non-Jew does want to go out and rent his property, but if the Jew gets in, so to speak, that he now has something in that chatzar, he could join that property with everyone else. So the following question came up. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. Hayusham, if over there in this house of the Nachri, of the non-Jew, were Chamisha Schiroi Vehele Kitei, there were these five workers, either that they worked in the full year, or the seasonal workers. Now, they live over there in different rooms or on the top floors, that had it been their domain, they would all have to go ahead and join in the Erev, as we learn in the Mishnah, that everyone agrees when some of them are there in different rooms, they have to go ahead and join. Now, these people, as we said on some level at least, are considered that it's their domain, as we allow the Jew to go ahead and give that domain over to the Ruvach Hatzeres, although it's not really his, but he's part of it. Schir Belikite is a worker. He's renting a spot. So now, the question is, Mahu? Now, do all of these people that live there, all these workers, do they all have to join in the Erev? And that is, if one of the workers forgets and doesn't give in, he's going to make it forbidden on all the people of the Mavi? Do we say that just like we said just before, that we'll consider this Sachar and the Lakid like the owners, which is the non-Jew, which he didn't want to join, but the Jew that is the Sachar Balakid, as a leniency, and we allow the Erev to be considered Erev for that Mavi? So these people are also considered owners as a stringency that every one of them has to go ahead and join in, and if not, it's not going to work. Or maybe, no, we always, this concept that we said before was only a leniency, that to consider the Sachar and Lakid like the owners, but not as a stringency. We don't say that they have to give, it's just that we allow them to be in place of the owner that doesn't want to join. And the reason is, as we had said in the previous stuff, every halacha regarding Erevin would go lahakal, more lenient. And therefore, in that regard, we will not consider their dira as a true full-fledged dira. And we don't need them to join. It's only that we allowed them to join to consider it as if their chatzar was considered as part of the Erev. So Amalei Rabbi Yosef said to him, "Im amru schir v'likit l'hakel." If we had said, as we did in the previous halacha, that we consider the sachar and the lakid, this part-time or full-time worker, as a leniency to say that he could give that chatzar over to the rest, even though the owner doesn't want to. Did you think we said this halacha as a stringency? It's not true. It was only as that part of the question that it was a leniency, and therefore, even if all five do not give, it's not necessary. If the owner is giving, or even one of the workers are giving, it's enough. We don't need all of them. They're not considered as full-fledged owners in that domain, and therefore it was only a leniency that we allowed even one of them to give it. Gufa, we mentioned before, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, which was the previous halacha before, afil eschir v'afil lekitoy, even if it's just a worker, someone that has just part of that domain, he's not the actual owner, nois neruv v'daya, as we had said, that was Rav's approach, what to do with this non-Jew that doesn't want to give it over, to have one Jew go ahead and have some right of way, be like a sachar v'lakad on some level, and then he can go ahead and join in the eiv, and that's enough, even though the owner doesn't want to. So on this halacha, Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Amar Rav Nachman, how beautiful is this halacha? It's great. This is very true. It's a very deep halacha concept. Although the owner is not giving it, but the sacher halacha could, it's a beautiful halacha. Whereas on a different halacha of Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, where he said, Shas revius yayin, if someone drinks a revius of wine, al yoyra, he should not go ahead and paskin any halacha because he's not all there in the sense that the wine is affecting his brain. On that Amar Rav Nachman, loy mal yoshmaita. No, that's not a good statement in halacha. No, because me, as long as I don't drink a revius of wine, my mind isn't clear. I'm only sharp after I drink a cup of wine, and therefore I don't like the halacha. Because to the contrary, wine would make me even clearer. So Amalei Rava, so Rava said to Rav Nachman that he was contrasting these halachas, he was critiquing it. He says, my time, Omar Hachi, why are you saying this? And, oh, this is a good halacha, oh, this is not a good halacha. But Ha'omer Rab Acha Reb Chanina, Ma'idach said, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, V'roya Zaynus, someone that befriends the prostitutes, Ya'abed Hoin will lose his wealth. What is that mashal, what's that as it is in Mishlei and Proverbs, what's that a mashal for? Whoever says that this statement is a beautiful halacha, but this is not such a beautiful statement, he loses the covet, the honor of Torah, and ultimately is going to forget his learning. Which is, as Rashi explains, the word Raya Zaynus is an acronym. Zaynus is Zuna'a. This is beautiful. And that's what the word Raya is, that I'm going to go ahead and involve myself, like go out to pasture and involve myself with this thing so that I should be able to retain it because this I like. Oh, that's a beautiful vart. You know, as if that's, but something else is not. Saying that is not properly to say this is nice, this is not nice. All the words of Torah are nice, and you don't start critiquing which was not nice and which was not, because you're also going to forget you're learning. So Amalei Hachibi says, I retract. I'm not going to do that ever again. That's obviously wrong to do that, to start critiquing, saying that's nice and that's not nice. So now, regarding the topic that we had brought up, that Rav Nachman was critiquing, so the one about that a person should not drink a revius of wine and then give a halachic psak, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, Shasu, if someone drank wine, al yispal, he should not be davening. V'im hispal, if he did daven, even though he drank wine, tefillah sitfila, his tefillah is a full-fledged tefillah. Shikr, however, if he's intoxicated, if he's drunk, al yisbal, he should not daven. V'mispal, if he did daven, tefillah sitteva, his tefillah is an abomination. It's not a full-fledged tefillah. It's not even a tefillah at all. And to the contrary, it's an abomination. It's wrong. So the Gemara explains, what is this? What are these different levels? What does it mean to have drunk wine? And what does it mean to have been intoxicated by wine? So the Gemara says, Ki hadir ab Abba bar Shumni, Rav Menashe bar Yirmiyah Megifti. As it was amongst these two Talmid Chacham, have a kamiftri mahadodi amavr dinar yufti, that they were bidding farewell from each other by the river Yufti. Amr, that they said, Kol chad minon leima milsad lo yishmi lechaber. Let each one of us tell his friend something that the other one never heard. And why is that? Dama mari barav huna, that he had said that a person should not depart from his friend only through a halachic statement. That through that halacha, he'll remember him. And therefore, let's say something unique, interesting, that, oh, I remember my friend because he was the one that told me something very interesting. So let's tell each other something that we never heard from ever before. One of them opened up and said, how do we understand these two levels? What does it mean that someone that drunk wine, that he's considered that his tefillah would be a tefillah, after the fact. And what's the idea of someone that's a drunkard, that he's intoxicated, that will not be considered tefillah even after the fact? That's an abomination. So shasay, when it means that he drank wine, is kol sheyochel adabal lefnei hamelech. But at least he could still speak in front of a king, although it's not proper, but he would be able to verbalize what he wants to say. Shikr, someone that's intoxicated, is kol sheyochel adabal lefnei hamelech, that he can't speak in front of the king. Such a level, if you do that in front of Hashem, you say a tefillah, that's an abomination. And then the other one came and said his idea was someone that takes hold of the properties of a convert. And that is, a convert is someone that has no, could be, he has no relatives. If he doesn't have children, he, when he converts, he's considered like a cotton chanel, like a brand new child. And his, he's not related to his mother and his father. And therefore, if he doesn't have a family, what he owns has no relative. Therefore, anyone that gets it first can grab a hold of it, and he can take a hold of that whole person's estate. So if someone goes ahead and takes a hold of that estate, what should he do to maintain the properties that he's taken hold of? And that is because this is like a wondrous thing. People are going to say, wow, look at this person. He got millions of dollars without doing any type of a work whatsoever. And therefore, he's not going to be able to hold on to it because it's going to be an ayin hara unless he does a dvar mitzvah. He uses it for a mitzvah purpose. Then he'll be able to maintain that, because or else people are going to be like, what? Look at this. He won the lottery. This is crazy how he got hold of it. So what should he do that he should maintain this property? Yikach ben sefer Torah. He should buy with it, at least with part of it, a sefer Torah. And then that will, so to speak, rectify the ayin hara, this that people are wondering, and he'll be able to maintain that those assets. So Amar Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, Afila, that this would apply, even this idea of when you have something that's a windfall that came out and people are going to be like, wow, look at how much money he just fell into, is even Baba Nixi Ishtay, is even a husband with the properties of his wife, you also have to do a Dvar Mitzvah with it, because people are also going to be wondering and they're going to say, wow, look how much money he just fell into with or through his wife, and therefore it's going to be a great Ayin Hara, so he should do a Dvar Mitzvah with at least some of that money that he should be able to retain the rest. Rav Amar, Rav says, even if you got a good business deal and you got just millions, which is unexpected, you did something that was amazing, that also a person should invest in a Dvar Mitzvah to maintain his money. Rav Papa Amar, he says, even if someone finds a find, he found a wallet, he found something, a diamond, the same idea, a person should use at least part of it for a Dvar Mitzvah because of the Ayin Hara element. So Amar Nachman Yisrael says, I feel a custom with tefillin. You don't have to actually buy a sefer Torah with it. Even if you go ahead and write tefillin with it, that would also be enough to maintain those assets that you have gotten as a windfall in a sudden type of a moment. Micro, what is the pasuk that tells us this concept that if you do a dvar mitzvah with at least some of this money, you'll be able to retain the rest of it? It says the pasuk in Bamidbar, the Yida Yisrael Neder V'Goyimah, that the Jewish people went and made an oath, as the pasuk over there says, and they said, if you give us that nation in our hand, we're going to go ahead and be Hachramti Yisareim. I'm going to go ahead and make everything, Hachramti is a Loshon of Hektish, we're going to make it for Hashem, we're not going to take the money for ourselves. And because they said that, their tefillahs were heard, and the enemy came into their hands. That's the idea, where you see that if you can do a Dvar Mitzvah with it, you say, Hashem, we're going to give to you, then you get to maintain, you're successful in your endeavor. That's the same thing over here, if you use it for a mitzvah purpose, you'll be able to hold on to the assets and to the properties that you've attained. Now the Gemara goes back to what we were discussing in Amman Aleph regarding davening through the when a person has already drunk wine. Amar Rami Bar Abba, derech mil, walking a mill, or vishina kalshu, or sleeping even just a small amount, mafiga nesayayin, that dissipates the wine, that although a person should not be davening after he drinks wine, but if he at least walks a mill, and or if he sleeps a certain amount, even just a little amount of time, that will already get rid of the wine, and then they can go ahead and daven. However, Amar Nachum, Amar Rabbi Avua, that's only if he drank around the revias. But if he drank more than the revias, he drank a lot, then to the contrary, there for sure, there going on the road is going to disturb him. It's not going to take away the wine, it's going to make him even more. And then sleeping is going to make him totally intoxicated, it's going to make him drunk, and therefore that's not going to help. If he drank a lot, it's going to make it even worse. But now the Gemara asks on the principle that we had just said. V'derech mil mefigas ayin. Is it true that walking a mill is going to dissipate the wine? But v'atem le'en nabraisa, that seems to indicate that it's not true that a mill is not enough to dissipate the wine. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Gamliel, there was an incident with Rabbi Gamliel, she'yireichav al chamar, that he was riding on a donkey. V'hayi mehalach me'akai l'chziv, and he was going from Akai to Chziv, this is by Eretz Yisrael area. V'hayi Rabbi Loi mehalach achar, and Rabbi Loi was going after. Motza gluskin b'derech, so Rabbi Gamliel found a loaf of bread on the road. So Amar Loi, he said to him, Eloi, told Gluskin Medech, said, Eloi, go ahead and pick up the loaf of bread from the road. Matzanachayach. And then as they were continuing on, they found a non-Jew. Amalai, so he said to the non-Jew, this is what Rabbi Gamliel said to him, he says, Magvai, tul gluskin halol miloy. Go, Magvai, this is what he called the non-Jew, take the loaf of bread from miloy. So nitfulay abiloy. Abiloy went and he got close to this non-Jew. So Amalai, he said, Mehechanat, where are you? Like he wanted to know. Rabbi Gamliel told this non-Jew to take the loaf of bread. He called him Magvai. He says, where are you from? So he says, Amalai meiroy shalburgen. He says, I'm from a city of huts. What's your name? He says, Magvai Shemeni. My name is Magvai. So he wanted to know, how do you know his name? He said, Klumi Kirchim Gulil Mi'olim. Did you ever meet Rim Gulil before? How do you know your name? Amalai Lav. He says, I never met him before in my life. So the Gemara says, Bo'isisho Lamanu Shekivin Rim Gulil Baruch HaKadosh. At that moment, we understood that Rim Gulil was able to precisely know his name through divine inspiration, through Ruach HaKadosh. He really never knew his name beforehand. Bishloisha Duram Lamanu Bo'isisho. We learned three things at that moment. Lemanu, one, she'im avir na'alaychon. You're not allowed to bypass food. If you find food on the road, you're not just leave it there where it is. You have to actually pick it up. Two, v'lemanu shaholchem acher roiv oivrei drachem, that we follow through the majority of those who go on the road. And that is from the fact that Rabbi Gamliel did not allow Rabbi Loi to eat that loaf of bread because he considered it with a chazaka that it was pasakum, that it was bread from a non-Jew, because most of the wayfarers are non-Jews. And third of all, the Laban, we learned shechamitzu shel nachri achad pesach, that the leavened bread, the chametz of a non-Jew after Pesach, because this was after Pesach, mutter b'hanah, that will be permitted to have pleasure from it, like over here, because there's what's called teves hanah. There's the pleasure of giving a gift to the non-Jew that, or whoever it is that's getting the gift, that's ingratiated to when they gave it. Here, Rabbi Gamliel gave a gift of that leftover bread from chametz from after Pesach to the non-Jew, so he was having hanah, but since it was leftover chametz of a non-Jew, unlike a Jew's leftover chametz, the leftover chametz of a non-Jew is not forbidden to have hanah, and therefore he was allowed to give it and have that teves hanah of giving it to the non-Jew. So now the Gemara continues his story and says, Kivin Shagila Chzib, once they finally reach Chzib, which is getting to the point of why we brought in this story, Bo'echeli Shal Anandari. So someone came to be Shoel on his net. He wanted a way out of his oath that he made, and he came to find a way out by Gamliel. So Amal Azesh Shimei Sir, Gamliel said to the one that was with him, in reference to Rabbi Loi, he says, Klum Shasinu Revius Yain Natalki, did we drink Italian wine on our road on up until this point? So Amal Hen says, yes, we drank Italian wine. So Imkain, Yitailacharina Shiyafig Yunenu. So he says, okay, let him follow after us until the wine dissipates, because since we drank a revius of wine, I can't go ahead and make a psak halacha, say it as a bezdin, to allow him to undo his neder. Vitailacharin gimel mil, and this person followed after them for 3 mil. Achegila sumashotsur, until they reached the heights of Tsur, this is the heights of a top of a mountain. Kivin Shagila, Summa the Tsur, once they finally reached the Sulam, the heights of the Tsur of the mountain, Yarud Rimulim the Khamar, Rimul came down from his donkey. Vinis Ativ, he covered himself with his talis of a yashiv, and he sat down. Vahitla Nedra, and then he permitted the Nedra of that person. Vahabad Varam Laman Moisash, and there's many things we learned from this episode, from this part of the episode of Gamliel. One, Lamanash Ravias Yain Hitalki Mishaka. We learned that a Ravias of Italian wine makes a person intoxicated, and therefore they couldn't go ahead and be matter the person's Nedra. Also, Balaban Shikal Yer, we learn that someone that's intoxicated can't go ahead and paskin alocha and go ahead and be matin neder. For Lamanu Shaderech Mefiges Ayan, we also learn that walking on the road dissipates the effects of the wine. Vilamanu, we learn Shein Mafir Nedrum, that one is not allowed to get and nullify a neder, Loi Rachav, not when he's riding on the donkey, Veloi Mahalach, not when he's walking, Veloi Emen, not standing, Eli Yeshiv, it has to be necessarily sitting because that's what he did. Not only did he stop riding and did he not stand or walk, he actually sat down. However, so that's the end of that story. But the Gemara says, Ketani Mias, one thing we do see is that Shleisha Milan, they made the person follow behind them for 3 mil, not like the halacha that we just said before, that it's enough with 1 mil. So how can we say that a derech mil is mafigas ayayin, like Rami Barabbas said, that it's enough if you walk on the road for 1 mil, that then is going to dissipate the wine. Here we say it has to be 3 mil. So the Gemara says, Shani yain he talki de mishakert fe, that Italian wine is different because it really makes a person, it's very strong, it makes a person very much intoxicated. Therefore, that type of wine of a revis needs to have 3 mil. So although generally the halacha is like Rami Bar Abba, that it's enough with 1 mil, but since here it's very strong wine, that's why I needed 3 mil, it's not a difficulty. But then the Gemara asks, "V'amar Rav Nachman bar Avua," as we had said before, that lo yishanu el shoshas rabiyos. When did we say that walking, well, you'll walk it off, so to speak, will get rid of the wine that you drank? That's only if you drank a rabiyos. Avashasa yaisim rabiyos kol shkin derech terdasai v'shinim shakrasai. Then we said if you drink more than the rabiyos of wine, so now you're really getting intoxicated, then walking will, to the contrary, will really make you distracted, and sleeping will definitely make you drunk. And now, since the Italian wine is the type of wine that they drank, and it's very strong, it makes the person intoxicated, so that's the equivalent of drinking like more than Revius. So how can we say that it's going to help, as the story of Lil, that he went 3 mil and therefore the wine was dissipated? To the contrary, the more you go, the more you're going to get drunk and intoxicated and distracted, because it's like more than Revius, because although it was a Revius, but it's stronger wine, which is the equivalent of drinking more of lesser strong wine. So how can we say that that's what he did? If we said that that going on the road, when you drank more than Revius, is going to do the contrary. It's not going to dissipate, but it's going to even intensify the effects of the wine. Tosh Gemara answers, Rochiv Shani. Riding on the donkey is different, because there is no the tircha of the derech. It's not going to have the distraction of the road that's going to really make him dizzy and lose his focus. And therefore, so at least through 3 mil, it's going to be mafik the tam of the yain. As we said, although it's very strong wine, it's not enough with 1 mil, but at least with 3 mil it will. Because although that we said that when it's stronger than just a regular vis, which is our case, that going in the road is going to make it worse, not better, that's when you're walking on the road. Here he's not walking, or he's just traveling because he's on the donkey, he's just sitting stationary. So therefore, as long as the time is passing on for the amount of 3 mil, it's going to dissipate because he's not actually walking, and therefore he's not going to be having the tird of the derech. And that the Gemara said, the hash to the aslahachi, now that you came to this difference between actually going on the road, walking, or riding on the road, so then l'rami bar Abba Nami, so therefore for Rami bar Abba Oso, that we had said before this difficulty, that he said it's enough to go 1 mil to dissipate the effects of the wine. And here we said in this incident, 3 mil, loikasha, it's not a difficulty, because rochiv shani, riding on the donkey, is different, because there is no tircha of the derech, and therefore it's not going to be dissipated so quickly as it would be if you walked 1 mil, which is what Rami bar Abba said, because there you're actually walking. Walking is going to take away the effects much quicker than when you're just riding, where it's going to take longer to ride it out. Then it's going to take up to 3 mil. So that also, we can already use that to resolve the original contradiction, that we don't have to say that there's a difference between Italian wine and regular wine. We can say it's the same as old wine. But the difference is, there it needed 3 mil because you're not walking, you're just riding it. When you're actually walking, then it's a reverse of wine, then it would be enough with 1 mil. Now the Gemara goes back to the idea that we had mentioned that story about Hafara, that one of the things we learned is that you have to do it sitting down. Ini, is that really so? V'amar Rav Nachman said, Mefir Nedarm, we're allowed to nullify the neder, Bein Mahalach, whether you're going, Bein Ma'amin, whether you're standing, Ubein Rachav, whether you're riding on a donkey. So we see, you don't have to actually go ahead and sit down. So why did Gamliel do that? Nothing more says Tanoihi, it's a Machlekes Tanoihi, Mesechetes Nedarm. Dikalaman do Amar, because there is one opinion that says, Peishin Becharata, that we have to open up the ability to be mefer in neder with regret. And that is, the chacham, the sage, has to find some type of an opening for the one that's requesting to have his neder be done away with. That he has to find some type of a disclaimer to say, if I would have known that, I would never have made that neder. And if I would have known, I would have made it. And therefore, what happens is that then, so retroactively, we see that he didn't really have a full-fledged intent for the neder. But the ikalamanda amar ain't paishkin mecharata. But then there's a different one that says over there that you don't have to find an opening of regret for the person to have to undo it. Rather, the chacham could undo it even if he doesn't find a reason for that. Now, Leel Hel, like the one who says that paishkin, you have to find some reason, some loophole, some reason why he would regret it and not want to do it. And that's why he needed Yishav Adas. He had to have the focus of the mind to sit down to think what could be an excuse, like a fine for him, that he would agree that he would never have done that. And that's why he had to sit down. The other Tanaim to say that you don't have to sit down is because they don't have to find Charata. Go ahead. Your neder is mufer. There's no problem whatsoever, because he doesn't have to find a disclaimer, whereas Ramlil had to. And that's why he's of the opinion that you have to sit down because you need to have a Pesach. As the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi B'chan Amar B'yechanan. My Pesach Le'er Melil Ahu Gabra. And that is, as we said, that's his shita. What was the opening that he found for that person to say, oh, if I would have known that, I would never have made the neder? So he quoted from a pasuk in Mishlei. Yesh baita, there's someone that exclaims, kimat kares cherev, like the piercing of a sword, b'losh l'chacham marpe, and the tongue of the sages are healing. What does that mean? What's that an analogy for? So it means kol ha-baita, whoever makes a neder, he exclaims, He is fitting to be pierced with a sword because maybe he's not going to fulfill his nether. And therefore, that was the opening that Gamaliel made for him. Had you known that it's forbidden to make a nether and you would be liable for Misa because of it, would you make a nether? So the other person said, no, I would, Taka would never have made it. And that's what the end of the pasuk means. Rather, but the words of the sages are healing because they are matter the nether. They find a way out, as that's the idea, because you would never have made it had you known about that the repercussions and the consequences would be so severe. So Amamar, one of the things that we said regarding that first part of the incident was, not a pass by food. There's food on the floor, you got to pick it up because it's a disgrace to the food. However, we didn't learn this halacha of having to pick up the food that's on the side of the road only by the earlier generation. Because at that time, the Jewish girls were not so overcome by the isra of doing witchcraft. But by the later generation, that the Jewish girls are very much involved in witchcraft, then we pass by the food because then we're suspicious of the food that's on the side of the road. Then maybe there was a spell on that, and therefore then we're not responsible to pick up the food. Similarly, Tana, within the Braisa, Shleimin Mavirin. When you pass by a full loaf of bread, then you can pass it by. But if it's a broken up piece of bread, then you're not allowed to pass it by without picking it up. And that is, there you have to pick it up because there you're not concerned about cheshafim, that there was a spell of witchcraft on it, because they only do it by whole loaves. On that, the Gemara asks, only Rav Asu, Rav Ashi, Vapsisin Loyavdin? Are you trying to tell me that they don't make witchcraft spells on broken pieces of bread? However, v'chsiv, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that seems to indicate that even the broken pieces were used as tools of witchcraft. As the pasuk says, v'tchaleno oisi al ami, that you have disgraced me to my nation, b'sha'al le'sa'orim, with handfuls of barley, u'b'psoisi lechem, and with pieces of bread. And that this is what was the Navi was telling to them, that they were being involved with the Nevi'a Baal, that they were using this witchcraft, this Avodah Zarah, just as an excuse to get pieces of bread. So you see that they were using the piece of bread as forms of witchcraft. So how can you say it's only on whole loaves? And the Gemara says, the shakli bi'igrayu, that they went and they took the pieces of bread as payment for their witchcraft, to make kishuv from other things. And what the Navi was telling them was not that they used the actual piece of bread as witchcraft, but because of pieces of small piece of bread that they're giving you as a reward, as a payment, so for that enough for you to mchal my name amongst my people, that you're making kisha for the Navi Ahabal, for the prophets of the Avodah Zarah, to make my nation go wayward. And therefore, it's as we said, whole piece of bread, you can pass it by. Broken piece of bread you have to pick up, because that they don't make witchcraft. Although the pasuk says that they would do witchcraft even with piece of bread, it doesn't mean they actually did witchcraft with the piece of bread. It means they did it to get as payment for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread.